get you by the goosebumps, goosebumps. Gotta get you by the goosebumps, gotcha. They gonna get you by the goosebumps, goosebumps. Gotta get you by the goosebumps. Hello and welcome back to Drunken Book Club, an official, unofficial Goosebumps podcast. I'm your invisible host, Christopher the Ruple, joined with...
Lefty, I mean Sam. Left-handers rule.
And on this, getting away with me with your creepy, stinky left hand. Why does it stink so much, Sam? Huh? Huh? You wiping your ass with that shit?
No, it's not the fair all day.
And hey, this week we read Let's Get Invisible. The classic number 6 Goosebumps book. Yes, I looked at the spine to see it was number 6, Sam. I've been drinking today, obviously. This is Drunken Book Club. We drink. But I started a new job recently. I can't really delve too much into it because I have NDA stuff, but it requires me to... It's an overnight job. So I literally go in at like 8 o'clock and I leave at 5 a.m. So recording is not going to be an issue. It's just how recording is going to be kind of weird for me because right now would technically be like my noon or... early like morning or late morning, and I'm already drinking, and it feels kind of weird because I've been up since 3 and it's currently 8 o'clock, so you know I've only been up for like 5 hours, so I guess, you know what, we're in that noon area. Some people are tend to be up by 12 to 1. They have a drink with their you know, a nice mimosa.
I was gonna say mimosa at brunch.
Yeah, so it's not too bad, but eventually it's gonna get to the point where I'm waking up at like 3 or 4, and it's gonna be interesting because yeah, my shifts are gonna change where I'm gonna be there from like 9:30 to 6, so I'll be sleeping in a little bit later kind of thing. So it does feel a little weird being only up for about 5 hours and already drinking.
That's fair.
And Sam, did you pregame on anything today?
I did not.
Yeah, because you've been working. I gave Sam a huge leniency because she couldn't read the book. She's been working like a fracking dog. Like, so goddamn much. I can't wait till you get your vacation.
Yeah.
Because you have earned it.
Yep.
And I won't be able to join you, but I'll be happy for you.
Guess I'll at least be able to take some time off.
Yep, exactly. And but I pre-gamed because, hey, fuck it, it's my weekend.
Yeah.
So I was like, screw it, I'm gonna pre-game a little bit. And I had what I like to call the left-hand toss, which is a kind of a twist on the left hook, where it's 1 ounce... of Southern Comfort and 1 ounce whiskey, and it's the left hand toss versus the left hook, which is replace the whiskey with bourbon.
Yeah.
I was about to say, a little simple, a little change. And I'm currently nursing a rum and Diet Coke. Use dark rum because I wanted the molasses taste, and it goes really good. Tasty, tasty.
Yes.
Yep. All right, Sam. So, what were your first impressions? I know you didn't read the book. We watched the episode, though. What did you think Let's Get Invisible was going to be about?
I figured it was going to be some kid, just knowing Goosebumps formula, because it's Goosebumps.
Yeah.
And there's a formula to it.
Yeah.
Basically, the kids figure out a way to do something spooky, in this case, get invisible.
Yeah.
But it goes, there's a horrible twist to it.
Yeah, there's actually 2 different invisible stories in the mainline Goosebumps books. So it's going to be interesting getting into My Best Friend is Invisible.
That's the one with the cat.
That is the one with the cat on the cover, yes. With the cat going, meow!
Yeah, with a paws yeah. In its face. Like
Just an orange cat being an orange cat.
A lot of brain cell in there.
Yep, but being, like, freaked out by everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was about to say, pretty simple, pretty basic story. And you're not wrong, honestly. Like, it's a very basic story. But honestly, I feel like it's a very intriguing one for the 6th book, which we'll get into soon. Let me talk about this cover. Sam, do you think I like this cover? Like, be honest. Do you think I honestly like this cover?
I think you're, like, mid on it.
I don't care for this cover. I really don't.
It's not an interesting cover.
It's one of the few times I'll say that the 2015 reprint has a better cover. But here we go. We have a boy in an orange sweater standing in front of a mirror. He's gawking at his fully visible hand while his legs are disappearing. He's looking at his fucking hand that's not disappearing.
I can see my hand.
I guess it's kind of like it kind of looks like you can see through it a little bit, but it's not super like.
Whereas the legs are gone.
If you look at the mirror, yes, you can see that he's kind of disappearing. But if you look at his arm right there in the not mirror part, it's there. It's right there, fucking looking at you, being like, ugh. Yeah, I like the reprint cover a lot more, where it's just a kid whose, like, head has disappeared and is, like, looking down and being like, whoa!
Yeah.
Because, like, definitely a better cover. One of the very few times I'd say a reprint was better. Let us get on with the story. Chapter 1. It's Max's 12th birthday, and he's having a party at his home with 15 people. But the important ones are his younger brother Lefty, who clearly has ADD or ADHD.
Like most left-handers.
Zach, Max's best friend, who has a new hairdo that's shaved on the left side.
Like me.
Aaron, aka Mouse, because she's kind of mousy and quiet. And April, who does not really have a distinguishing feature except that she's kind of a scaredy cat. I feel like she's kind of black-coated because she does not want to take part in a lot of this stuff.
She's like, this is spooky, I'm out.
Yeah, like, it's like, I don't want to be part of this. No, thank you.
Versus, like, the white people.
I have survival instinct. Thank you very much.
That Twitter thing where the kid,
yeah,
where that woman's, like, going through the very obviously haunted house.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, ooh, is this antique flooring? And the husband's like, nope, 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 yeah, nope, nope.
It was going to be hosted outside, but it's raining today. But they have an entertaining party inside, playing Twister, watching a movie, and other activities. As the day unwinds, most of the guests have left by 5. The only ones left are Aaron and April. Max takes them to his room to play video games, but when they're getting there, they're ambushed by something in the linen closet. Dun dun!
It's gonna be Lefty.
Chapters 2 and 3. It's just Lefty being Lefty. It's always gonna be Lefty,
trust me. It's the younger brother, like.
Like, I say the first half of the book is literally every end of the chapter is Lefty pulling a, I gotcha! Which is, like, it's classic little brother, classic left-hander, classic Chris, who's not a left-hander.
I was gonna say, I don't do that.
I do that, because I'm the little brother, so it's like, I can't ambush you and attack you, but I can ambush you and scare you.
Yeah.
That's the main thing there.
It's the ambush, though.
Yep. It's just Lefty being Lefty, as I said. The girls notice another door and ask where it leads, and it's to the attic. They want to go up there, and Max obliges because there's nothing special up there. The four, along with Whitey, the family dog, explore the attic.
So something that's funny,
because
I tried to listen to the audiobook, and the version of the audiobook I got was a fan recording, which they tried. I'm not going to, like, badmouth it.
Yeah.
But it just, I couldn't get into it because of the voice.
Yeah.
But it starts with the whole Whitey, and that the dog is black.
Yeah.
So they're like, of course we called it Whitey. And I'm like, better than my family dog that was all black.
Yep. Named Blackie.
Yep.
Yeah. Apparently that was, Arlstein actually, that's what his family did when he was a little kid. Did the same thing. So it's just, it's from that.
But yeah, I thought of that and I was like, hey, that actually, that's safe. That's at least safe.
Right. There's nothing but junk up there, but Whitey finds something. A secret door. Max opens the secret door, and Lefty takes his chance to be the first one inside, and falsely claims there's a dead body.
That's me!
He's not that bad. Actually, kind of like Lefty, honestly. As the others enter, Max is shocked to see another person in there, but it's just his reflection in a mirror, which, if you've ever walked in a room and not realized there's a mirror, have you ever been like, ooh, like kind of surprised at yourself?
Oh, yeah.
Like, even when I know there's a mirror, I'll still sometimes be like, ooh, like, If I didn't know that we had a mirror outside of our bedroom, I would still probably freak out every time.
There are some times where I just forget about it, and I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Like, I'll see it, specifically, like, corner of my eye is where it will really freak me out, because I'll see movement, and I'm like, and then I'm like, oh, wait.
It's just your doppelganger, Sam, don't worry.
Okay. They're there to replace me eventually.
Yep. Righty. The mirror is taller than Max, and is perfectly spotless for being in storage for so long. Attached to the mirror is a weird light made of brass. The bulb is long and narrow, almost like a fluorescent bulb, but not quite. Max decides to turn on the light and to help him illuminate the room. When he does, everyone is shocked to see him disappear. Chapters 4 through 5. Max doesn't believe them, and the light is starting to bother his eyes. So he turns it off, and he reappears once more. That's something I'm not sure if RL did his research on, but that's something that, like, a lot of people will say, like, if you turn invisible, light is going to make it worse for you, because when you close your eyes, if they're invisible, you can see the light through it.
Yeah, there's no.
Yeah, so technically, light is always going to be a bother when you're invisible.
That makes sense.
Yeah, so I'm not sure if RL did his research, or just knew that kind of, like, quick fact, but...
Or just incandescent bulb. Like, some bulbs are just irritating to the eyes. Yeah,
very true. I was about to say, for me, light just bothers my eyes a lot, too, but I'm used to it now. So he turns it off and he reappears once more? I don't know. But here we go. Max doesn't believe them when they say he was invisible and demands one of them to do it so they can prove it. Aaron steps up, and as she's about to pull the string, Aaron's mom arrives and the girls have to leave. After they leave, Lefty keeps playing with his softball in the house and ends up breaking a vase. And after he's scolded by mom and it's cleaned up, he continues to play with the ball. I just figured that's very important to say because he does play with that ball a lot. That's why I also say that he needs that stimulation because he's always tossing the ball.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's such like a very ADHD thing of like the...
You need it. You need that stimulation, that constant...
A fidget something.
Fidget, exactly. And this is kind of before the days of, you know, Logic fidget toys.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I still love the one Twitter thing that somebody put of the knitting and crocheting is just stimming, but with a purpose.
Yeah.
And goddamn if it's not true.
And also I put, oh, that Lefty, will he ever learn? A few days pass and the mirror is nearly forgotten about. Until one restless Wednesday night, Max can't help but think anxiously about the mirror. He can't take it anymore and heads to the attic to inspect the mirror. When he gets up there and is about to turn on the light, once more he notices a pair of evil-looking eyes low by the floor.
You're not about me. I don't know why.
It's because we've been watching Malcolm in the Middle and you've been hearing the song and you were like, oh, this song's almost triggering because of that. But it's so good that I can't help it.
Yeah, because that kid was such a little shit.
Yeah.
It's Lefty.
What chapters are we on?
Chapters 6 through 7.
Thank you.
It's Lefty. He tells Lefty to go back downstairs, but Lefty doesn't listen to him. He's not the boss of him. I'm sorry, that was the right... Am I wrong on that spot? You're good. So Max tells him he wants to try turning invisible again, but Lefty does too. They argue and compromise by both turning invisible. Max pulls the chain, and the two turn invisible, much to Max's surprise. They mess around a bit and wonder if they can leave the house like this. The pair are starting to feel weird and decide to turn back. When Max pulls the chain again, they don't reappear.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny, in the show, they do instantly reappear, but they bring it up later on.
Yeah. Chapter 8. The brothers are freaking the fuck out when Max is about to hit the light again, but two appear once more. They theorize that the longer they stay invisible with the light on, the longer it takes for them to come back once the light is turned off. Max wants to show off and scare Zack with the mirror, and he gets the chance on Saturday. That Saturday afternoon, the brothers take Zack up to the attic and slowly show him the invisible trick, pacing it out to get a better reaction from Zack. When Max finally turns invisible, Zack literally stumbles out of shock.
He literally falls on his ass scared. It's funny.
Max messes with Zack for a bit and eventually pulls the chain to turn visible, but he has somewhat of a hard time doing so, almost as if he is being pulled into the mirror. As he returns, Zack wants to try it out, but Max is apprehensive about it. Before Zack can try it, Max realizes Lefty is missing. Chapters 9 and 10. Lefty isn't missing. As you said, like, 9...
Yeah, like, a lot of the fucking final chapter stings are, where's Lefty? What is that?
It's Lefty! You're not the boss of me!
Oh, that's just our reaction to every little brother now. It's just, you're not the boss of me.
That's such a little brother thing.
Yeah.
Lefty isn't missing. He's playing to hide a joke, yet again. Zack and Max start to beat and tickle Lefty for his trick. Just beat him mercilessly.
Yeah, they just were, like, wailing on him. There's a lot of tickling in this book, by the way. Like, they clearly say they're tickling him as well. Like, I wanted you to actually, when you read it, to do a tickle counter for me. But, I mean, like I said, I gave Sam the chance not to read it because way too much freaking work for her. There's a lot of tickling. I want to say there's at least 8 instances of tickling in this book.
That's weird.
Right.
Lefty gets away, but when the chase is about to start, Aaron and April show up in the attic. The girls are interested in the optical illusion. Max says it's not an optical illusion, and Aaron wants to try it out. When they're about to let Aaron try it, Zack has already pulled the light on in the mirror and turned himself invisible. Apparently, during the time they are talking, Zack had been invisible, and it's been that way for about 5 minutes. Zack starts to feel funny and says everything is breaking up like a bad television reception. Quickly, Max turns off the light. Zack is still invisible and freaking out. He feels like he's never coming back. Max reassures them all to be patient. Chapter 11. Zack finally reappears, and he is Mr. Confidence once more, even though moments ago he was freaking out.
Yeah, like, they legit, like, mentioned that it's like, he was freaking the fuck out. Now he's like, nah, it was nothing, guys.
No, I'm not scared. I'm never scared. Zack then claims he felt like he was being pulled away, but before he can elaborate, he claims he's the invisible champion.
He claims that he's the invisible champion.
There we go. Since he did it for so long. April doesn't think turning invisible is such a good idea, but Zack riles everyone up, and Aaron wants to try to beat the record next. Aaron starts to have quite a bit of fun being invisible, but at around the 4-minute mark, she doesn't feel too well and has to come back. Max pulls the chain, and she reappears after a short while. Aaron claims it felt amazing, but the last few seconds made her feel terrible. It's Max's turn, and he's ready to beat Zack's record. He tells Zack that if he stays, he says he wants to come back, he needs to pull the chain. Zack agrees, and Max starts his time trial. Also, you're right, it does sound like an addiction kind of thing of like, oh my god, that's so amazing, and then...
Yeah, I said that while watching, not during the podcasts, but as I was saying to Sam earlier, that it definitely has, like, this kind of addiction kind of allegory to it of, like, these kids are, like, hooked on wanting to turn invisible and, like, are, like, constantly being like, yeah, I gotta do this, I gotta do this. Come on, it'll be really fun.
Yeah. You
know? And then, like, even that, like, feeling not so good is, you know, it's kind of
that coming down.
That coming down kind of thing. But then almost immediately snapping back and being like, oh, it's time to go, it's time to go.
Let's go again, let's go again.
Yeah. It's crazy.
The TV version does a really good job of it as well.
Yeah, like, literally, like, they come back and they're, like, shivering on the ground and stuff. Like, yeah. Looking like freaking addicts.
Yeah.
Like, they're looking like they're coming back from a really bad, like, hit. Or bad trip.
Yeah.
Chapter 12. Max doesn't try to pull any tricks or play around while he's invisible. He just ponders how this all works. Max focuses on the light, but soon he feels like he's floating away, being pulled into the light. He demands Zack pull the chain, kill the light, but it feels like he's not listening and slowly getting to it. When Zack finally gets to the chain to pull the light, he accidentally pulls the chain off. Chapter 13.
Also, on some of those old lights, it's really easy to do.
Oh yeah, I've broken a light chain before.
Yeah.
I think I actually did that at my mom's place.
I did it at my parents'.
Yeah. Very easy.
Yeah.
Chapter 13. Max starts to feel like he's floating and fading away. The others stare in shock, not sure of what to do, but Aaron, being a badass, grabs a box to stand on and finds there's a bit of chain left on the light to pull and snuff out the light. Slowly, Max starts to regain his composure, and Aaron and him confirm the sensation of fading away. Zack, being a competitive asshole, hates that Max broke his record, and Lefty wants a turn to beat the record as well. Before anyone can go forward with the challenge, Zack replaces a chain on the light with some string, and it's Lefty's turn. Chapter 14. Before Lefty can pull the chain, Mom calls up and says it's dinner time and that Max's friends have to go home. They try-
Go home, Chaz.
Go home, Chaz. Go home, Zack. They try to plan when to come over next, and the next best day is Wednesday, since it's a half day. Or, actually, I think they have the day off. Max has dinner with their grandparents. Max can't focus on dinner. He wants to think about being invisible and relive it all through memory.
That is such a, again, like, the allegory for addiction.
Yeah, literally, if you let me finish, I had said almost like he's addicted, is my next sentence there.
Yeah, because, like, thinking about that next hit.
Yeah. Just, I can't wait.
Yeah.
Everyone ask where Lefty is.
Where's Lefty?
I know. Whenever Lefty's not around, you gotta ask, where's Lefty? And Max swore he was with him. They tell him to go find his brother, and when he gets up, Lefty is there already. He's just invisible. Lefty is trying to be silly and scare everyone, but Max does his best to stop him.
Ooh.
Okay, Sam, we're on an audio podcast. Haunted, what are you doing?
Tissue box.
Were you going to say toilet paper?
Yes. I'm tired.
Hi, tired. I'm Chris.
I'm going to bite you.
Bite me. Bring it.
That was a surprisingly good growl.
That was a surprisingly good bite.
Sorry.
You usually got a hold of me.
Sorry. Shouldn't be as proud as I am.
Weirdo.
Chapter 15. The two head upstairs. Lefty is cheering himself on about being the new invisible champ, since he's been invisible for over 10 minutes now.
Yeah.
Max doesn't care. He just switches off the light, and he warns Lefty not to do that again. He needs supervision when turning invisible. Again, another addiction thing of, like, you don't use alone.
Yeah.
That is, like, a big safety thing, is you don't use alone. Lefty doesn't give a fuck, though.
I'm Lefty, I don't give a fuck. Pickle Rick! I feel like Lefty would like Pickle Rick.
He would. He'd be like...
That's what's like most ADD or ADH kids.
Max, I saw the funniest thing.
He turns into a fucking pickle. He turns into a fucking invisible pickle.
Later that night, Aaron calls and wants to show off the mirror for the science fair and wants to try to win with it. Max says that's a bad idea because they'll definitely get it confiscated by government people. Aaron understands, then informs Max that April finally wants to try turning invisible as well. They say their goodnights, and Max can't get to sleep that night. He decides to go upstairs to check the mirror. He stares at his reflection, and after a while, it starts to lose its sharpness, and he hears a quiet, sad whisper of someone calling his name repeatedly.
Max. Sorry, I'm just thinking of the Goofy movie, where the intro where it's just like, Max.
Yep. Normally I'd chalk it up to being Lefty, but this time it's coming from inside the mirror. Max runs to his room in fear.
You know what? I just realized this is one of the first books we've read that actually has a kid with a name that's one of our, what, at least one of my close friends, Sam's friend.
Yeah.
Max, I was about to say, who's been on the podcast before.
Yeah.
I just think that's gonna, I just realized that now. I'm just like, hey, this is kind of the first time we've had that, because I don't think we've had any Luises, obviously no Noelias. I don't think we've had a Brandon yet.
I don't think we've had a Sam or Chris
yet. Sam is coming. Sam is coming. There is a girl version of Chris in the next book, spelt with a K, which I don't count.
Yeah. There needs to be a CH at least.
Yes. There's only like one Chris, I think, in the entire Goosebumps. But don't quote me on that. I check, but Sam has my phone.
Chapters 16 and 17. Max had a hard time getting back to bed, but Whitey, being a good boy, calms his nerves. The next morning, Max is getting ready when Lefty tries to scare him by being invisible and messing with him. Max scolds him and tells him to go get visible, but he doesn't hear a reply. Has Lefty disappeared? Max rushes up to the attic and turns off the layoff. After a nervous pause, Lefty makes himself known to Max. When he becomes visible, Max thinks he seems different, but Lefty objects to this. As they head downstairs, Mom also thinks Lefty seems different, but he says he's the same. Max decides he's not going to allow his friends to use the mirror anymore because of what happened that night, the night before, and with Lefty. The competition on Wednesday is called off. Chapters 18 and 19. That Wednesday, his friends arrive at his house. They claim Lefty has reinstated the competition under Max's command. That little shit.
Yeah.
That also sounds like a little brother thing, though, too. Mm-hmm. If, like,
nope, says it's back on.
He says it's okay.
You're not supposed to be. Is that just going to be a reoccurring joke whenever we have a little brother who's kind of a little douche? I mean, I like Lefty personally. I think Lefty's actually one of my favorite kid brothers.
I don't think Lefty's... I was going to say, he's nothing compared to the... Even, like, in...
Denny.
Compared to, the, like, the TV shit.
Yeah.
At least from the TV show.
The TV show is not that bad,
yeah, he's
honestly.
Not that bad. Like, he's a little shit, but he's
a shit in the book, but he's not as bad. I actually really like Lefty a lot.
It's not like Denny...
I think it's because he reminds me a lot of myself as a little brother, being, you know, that annoying little brother.
But it's not like Denny, where it's like, okay, we're just going to leave him in the time.
And especially, paradox. Also another thing I like about relating to Lefty is that I always wanted to hang out with my brother and his friends. And they would let me, you know? But it never felt like I was part of the gang.
Yeah.
You know, I was always just like, oh, it's little Chris.
Yep.
Little Peanut.
Let me a thought. Give me a peanut. I'm going to feed him a peanut.
Appa.
Bizarro. Sorry.
Why'd you say that? That doesn't make sense. His name's not Peanut.
I just thought of the peanut, of like,
yeah.
I'm gonna feed him a peanut, so when he's allergic.
Yeah.
And then at the end, I gave him a peanut.
Yeah.
The gang heads upstairs, and April wants to go first, but only to try it out. Max is concerned about it, but Zack and Aaron call him a pussy, and tell him it's all in good fun. April gets ready to get invisible. When Zack pulls the string, Whitey appears and turns invisible with April. Max demands that Zack pull the chain, but April protests as she's barely had any time to be invisible. Zack does as Max says, and Whitey reappears, not looking well, and runs off. The competition begins with Aaron going first. After messing around with the guys, she suddenly stops responding to them. They all fear the worst.
Chapter 20. A second later, a can of Coke comes floating into the room. Aaron got thirsty, apparently. She far exceeds Lefty's time, but at the 12-minute mark, Aaron goes silent again. Max turns the light out, and Aaron eventually reappears, but something feels off about her. Zack declares he's going to go for 15 minutes, and Max turns on the light for him. Max grills Aaron about being alright, and why she didn't respond to them when they called out to her. She says she's fine and that she just didn't hear them. As Zack continues his challenge, he wants to go outside, and against Max's better judgment, they follow him. Zack pulls a prank on Max's neighbor, and then they head back to the attic. It's like the most inconsequential thing. He literally starts juggling some tomatoes that the neighbor was growing, and then, like, he's like, Martha, come look! And she's like, there's nothing there, Al, you're fucking stupid! And he's like, oh, and starts going, Martha! And he gaslights the neighbor.
All I can think of is the, fucking barnyard.
No, oh, yeah, it is, yeah, exactly, it's gaslighting.
Of the lady where she's like, the animals are doing something! He's like, no, they're not, you're just
crazy. The tomatoes
crazy.
Are doing something!
And she's like, I'm not crazy, I have a chemical imbalance! I'm that woman.
Yes,
and
yes
you're,
you are.
And you just call me crazy as I talk to the animals.
I just put up with it.
And we have a shitheel, like, nephew or whatever the fuck that kid is.
Is he related to them?
I think so. I don't know.
I've never seen Barnyard, so I wouldn't know.
I've seen the cartoon more than I've seen the movie, like the TV show, because it was just on all the damn time.
I've seen none of it because I refused to watch it because I was like, this looks like crap.
It was on Nicktoons and it was crap.
Yes. It was on Nickelodeon as well.
Like, I just remember it was just, like, on Nicktoons all the time.
Yeah.
I'm like, why?
I don't know.
Because they already had the rights to it, so it was cheap.
I guess. At the 12-minute mark, Zack stops answering them, much like Aaron. Max decides to turn the light off. Zack reappears as the new champion, but something is strange about him. His hair is shaved on the right side instead of the left, like it was before. But Zack says it's always been that way. Zack and Aaron then ask if Max is going to try now. He declines, saying he's not in the mood, but the pair physically force him to the mirror and turn the light on.
Kind of fucked up.
Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, I mean, I don't know if it's like, if addicts would ever do that. It's like, come on, man, you know you want to get high with us. Like, I don't feel like that kind of pushing, but you never know.
I feel like it'd definitely be more the, like, come on, why are you being weird about this?
Yeah.
Than specifically you want to do this.
Yeah, and forcing them. It's not like they're forcing the needle into his arm.
Yeah.
I mean, technically they are forcing the needle into his arm, but I don't think someone would force a needle into his arm.
I was going to say, typically addicts don't tend to do that kind of thing. It's
because they want it for themselves.
It's more of the, like, why are you...
say that.
It feels like a judgment thing if you start to opt out.
Yeah.
Of the, oh, you think you're better than us?
Yeah. Chapters 21 through 23. Max has been forced to do the challenge. During his time, he can't shake the feeling that his friends still seem off. At around the 11-minute mark, he can't take the light anymore and asks Zack to pull the string. As Zack is about to, Mom shows up, forcing Zack to drop the string. Mom comes over to look at the mirror as Max is slowly fading away. His cries for help go unnoticed, and he does his best to hold onto the mirror, but eventually can't hold anymore. He soon finds himself in a different plane of existence, but he's not alone. It's his own reflection. Max tries to run away, but is distracted by the horrific faces that surround him, two of which are his friends, Zack and Aaron.
I just love in the TV show, like,
it's literally, like, mirrors floating.
Like, that was clever, but like, I'm saying, like, as he's, like, running, they have, like, one of them is, like, a guitar just floating in the air.
Yeah, the weird horse face that's the just, like,
well, it was, like, a rocking horse, but it was, like, a fucked up old Victorian rocking horse.
Yeah, that's gonna fucking give you cancer or something, because it's painted with lead.
Yeah.
And made of asbestos.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it's like the asbestos lead horse made with arsenic paint.
Oh, yeah. Max's reflection says he's not going anywhere, and that his cold side is taking his place. Chapters 24 and 25. Max attempts to run away once more, and as Zack on the other side of the mirror pulls the string to kill the light.
Pulled the strings.
Pulled the strings! I've tried my best not to make that reference all day, and I'm so happy you did it for me. But yeah, he pulls the string to kill the light. Max is able to return home once more. The doppelgangers of his friends ask if the switch was made, but his reflection rats on him. Rats him out, and his friends attempt to make the switch once more. Max begs April to help him, but she's too confused to do anything. But before anything else can happen, Lefty enters the room and misidentifies Max's reflection for him, and tosses his softball at the mirror, shattering it. The mirror versions of Aaron and Zack are pulled in, while Lefty struggles but succeeds in not getting sucked in. That's something I wanted to include, because I thought that was it's such a little thing in the book that they just barely mention of, like, he's, like, keeping himself pulled in, too. Like, it's just one brief sentence. I'm just like, huh. Like, at first I was like, this doesn't feel like, I feel like this is going to be a plot hole coming up.
It's not.
Yeah. Because, like, I read this book years ago, so I remember the twist.
You made me do we did the quizzer thing of what was the twist ending, and I remember.
Yeah. Aaron and Zack return once more, much to April's confusion. They explain to April and Lefty what happened and clean up the mess. They block off the hidden room, and everyone goes home. Lefty and Max then play catch to unwind after all this, and let's go ahead and read the final part of the book on page 138 to 139.
Lefty tossed me the ball. We trotted behind the garage, our usual place for tossing the ball around. I lobbed it back to him. We were having a pretty good game of catch, until about 5 minutes had gone by. Until I stopped and froze in place. Were my eyes playing tricks on me? Here comes my fastball, he said. He heaved it at me. No. No. No! I gaped open mouth as the ball shot past me. I'd even try to catch it. I couldn't move. I could only stare in horror. My brother was throwing right-handed.
Dun 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 dun. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Like, I thought that was going to be a plot hole, honestly, of like... Like, because I remember Lefty throwing the ball and breaking the mirror. What's it called? Like, I didn't think they would, like, he would get pulled in with them or something. Like, I thought, like, I knew the mirror broke at the end. But yeah, like, seeing, like, there's, like, just this one brief sentence where it's, like, he held on for his dear life kind of thing. And I was just like, oh, whoa. R.L. did his job on this one.
Yeah.
Sam, you didn't read the book, but you did watch the episode. Do you have any notes or questions that you might have?
So I don't really have many questions because a lot of the stuff, one of the things I like with some of the Goosebumps stuff is not explaining like yeah. where the mysterious are haunted or whatever yeah. the object is.
I love that it's just hidden behind a wall in the house. Like, it's just, yeah. it just creates this really creepy atmospheric kind of thing of just, there's a haunted object just hidden in your house. It's horrific. It's terrifying. It's something that any kid could come upon and not really know what to do.
Yeah. Well, and I think also one of the things I like about, like, not knowing all the specifics, because mm-hmm. I remember I had this talk with somebody where they're like, well, in a different series, but same concept of the, we don't know all the things about this world.
Yeah.
We don't know everything about the world around us.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's nice to not have that, have kind of the cow tools moment of the, like, you can speculate.
Yeah.
On, like, where it came from.
What, I love cow tools.
And, like, what they do, what the purpose is, yeah. how they're made, but we don't know.
We don't know. We don't need to know.
Yeah. That's not the point of the story.
Like, do you ever go back and watch Twilight Zone and go, huh, what about this? What about this? Where did this come from? Yada, yada, yada. No, you want to see what's in the now, not the past. As much as I would love to hear the history of this mirror and where it came from, but I don't need to know this. This is a novella meant to intrigue you, to make you not want to put it down and have a good time.
Yeah, not go, this is the history of a mirror.
God, it almost sounds like I'm doing my book report. Because, like, that's not taken from my book report, but that's definitely would be something I would say about it.
But that's just something I will say that I like, is that R.L. Stine will do.
Yeah.
And even when he does explain, it's one of those, like, it makes sense to why he's explaining it.
Yeah.
It doesn't just feel like exposition.
Or it's really dumb.
Yeah.
That's what's like, or like many books later, we find out why Slappy the Dummy exists, and you're just like,
okay.
Okay, that's dumb, but all right. He's made of coffin wood? Ooh, that's
spooky.
Okay.
The other thing that I found funny was just in the TV show, Left Hand Rules.
Yeah, lefties rule. Yeah, I knew you would like that. I think that's another reason why I really wanted you to read this one, in all honesty, because it does have a left-hand representation, and Sam yeah. is a lefty.
Yep. Yep. It's a pain in the ass sometimes.
Yes, it is.
Because it's one of those, like, I will elbow people if I'm put in the wrong spot, like, in a row of people.
Yeah.
I smudge everything I write and draw, because where my hand is placed.
Yeah.
Going left to right doesn't do great.
Yeah. Alrighty, so here are my notes. So, as always, Chris, drop a song from 1993 or 94, whatever this book. I think this one came out in 93. You don't need to look it up, Sam. I'm going to look it up when I actually look it up. Pop culture references! X-Force. The Red Sox. Terminator. Twister. Coke. Super Nintendo. Life Magazine. People Magazine. Saturday Night Live. And The Gap. Bro wants to watch The Terminator while the girls want to play Twister. Bro has his priorities straight. He wants to see a naked man on screen. That's what's up.
Beautiful. And also,
or maybe he wants to watch the sex scene that's really awkward near the end.
I also feel like Twister's such a weird game.
Right? Like, I mean, it's. I mean, when you're a 12-year-old and you don't know what to do with your private parts and you kind of just want to rub against something, it's the perfect game. It's the perfect game, Sam.
But it's also so weird, though, because it's like...
Yeah.
The thing is, like, it's not just the private part thing. It's like you're also... Like, your face is sometimes in someone's armpit.
I mean, hey, that's how fetishes are started, hon.
Not mine. I'm gonna say that. I know some people are into that. That is
Can
not
I,
mine.
Can I, Okay, so, one... I've never played normal Twister, but I do remember... In, like, elementary school, we had, like, it wasn't a field day. It was, like, kind of like an event day where, like, they had, like, this giant Twister mats. And, like, a bunch of people were playing, and, like, I knew what, like, one of the moms was playing. I saw boob. Yeah, like, she was doing it, and she had a very low-cut shirt that, like, it was, like, a wife beater, I think. And, like, I saw boob, and she saw that I noticed, and she was like, whoop. Like went up over, like, immediately kind of thing. And I looked away immediately, like embarrassed. Because, like, I think I was in fourth grade, so I knew about that stuff, but I was just like...
You were not prepared to see boob.
Yeah, not really, but that was, like, I think the first time I saw non-familiar boob.
Sorry, it's non-familial boob.
Yeah,
I know there is a difference, yeah. But yeah.
All right. So, Sam, you know I love to do my research for these episodes when there's CD gift store or something referenced. Yet again, we have it! We have it! Also, yes, this book came out in 93 because it's in this notes right here. March of 93. All right, as always, if I see there's a CD or something reference, I have to find out what it may be. So, since this came out in March of 93, He gets gifted a CD. We don't know what it is. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, there we go.
Arl's like, I'm not dealing with specifics on that.
So, as always, I'm only accepting music from January to March of that year for our selection. So, here it is, Sam. They did, and go ahead and stop me if you think that he might have gotten this one. The debut album of Canadian rapper Snow, 12 Inches of Snow, with the amazing, I mean, I love the song, Informant,
I like a boom boom, yeah. I don't think that would probably be what he'd get, but.
I mean, that song was pretty cool. Infectious Grooves, Sarsipius's Arc. That one's self-indulgent for me, because I love Infectious Grooves. That's the original band, or the second band. That Robert Trujillo was in, the current bassist of Metallica.
Okay.
Who has the, oh my god, his bass on that is amazing. Like, dude, it's I've been watching a lot of bassist stuff, but he plays his bass super fucking low, and I'm just like, how do people do this?
When they're like this low?
And yeah, like they're literally down well below their crotch. And it's like, your back is hurting. All right, continuing for us, Tupac's Strictly for My Word Redacted, my N-words, if you would. Pablo Honey by Radiohead, that's the one with Creep on it, their debut album. Ace of Base's Happy Nation, that's their big breakout one with all their big hits. 1993 by Naughty by Nature. Everybody Else is Doing It, Why Can't We by the Cranberries. Not the one with Zombie, but like it was like kind of their big breakout one in America.
Yeah.
Serial Killer Soundtrack by Green Jelly, another self-indulgent one, but I also find that kids probably liked, what's it called, the Three Little Pigs song for that one. Little Pig, Let Me In. Not all the hair of my chinny chin chin. I like that song. Are You Gonna Go My Way by Lenny Kravitz, which I didn't realize that came out so early. I thought Lenny Kravitz wasn't until like the mid to late 90s, honestly. I Hear Black by Overkill, another self-indulgence one. Songs of Faith and Devotion by Depeche Mode. Yet again, another self-indulgent one. That's actually one of my favorite Depeche Mode albums. I think it's the only one I own on vinyl. Home Invasion by Ice-T. Another self-indulgent one coming up. Independent Worm Saloon by The Butthole Surfers.
Look, I'm a surfer!
I'm a surfer! That one is not their big breakout one, but it did have one of their big songs that was big on MTV, and one of the songs was used in a Super Nintendo commercial of Who Was In My Room Last Night. So, that's kind of why I wanted to put it on there as well, because maybe a kid would hear that song or see the video and be like, yeah. I want this. Because, you know,
yeah.
MTV's still there. 14 Shots to the Dome by LL Cool J, so that's actually a pretty solid one, and Back the Fuck Up from Onyx. So, Sam, do you have any guesses which one?
I feel like the Butthole Surfer one makes the most sense based on what you've told me.
Yeah.
I don't know most of the other ones, to be perfectly honest, so I just can't, like...
Okay.
Is that fair to say?
That's fair. Not even Pablo Honey by Radiohead? You know, they could have watched, heard Creep on the radio?
I don't know. It's one of those with a 12-year-old.
A 12-year-old not relating to the song Creep.
Okay, you're right. You're right.
A 12-year-old not relating to the song Creep. That's all I'm going to say.
You're right.
If he's still happy, you get Ace of Base's Happy Nation.
Yeah. So I guess it just depends on where he is mentally.
Yeah, exactly.
Or where the friend is that gifted him the CD is mentally.
That is fair. I Love Old Junk. Phrasing, Aaron. I realize that Lefty playing with the softball all the time in the book is his way of distracting himself like with a fidget toy. Not sure if RL knew about that stuff, but it's a clever way of showing his possible ADHD.
It definitely is like a hyperactive kid, though, thing, even before people knew, really.
Yeah. I think this, along with something we mentioned in one of the previous stories, I think with his experience on Eureka's Castle, he would maybe know about this stuff of, like, kind of knowing about,
the development of children.
Yes, thank you. Like, I feel like with his experience from there, it would probably help him with that.
Yeah.
The invisibility being a metaphor to addiction is interesting. The sudden urge to want to do it more, the lightness you feel when you do it for too long, the constant craving and wanting to go back to it, or think about it and relive it. It's kind of crazy how he did this.
Well, again, the whole don't use alone, because that's one of the biggest, like, I talk a lot about harm reduction in my job, because just what I do.
Yeah.
And one of the things they always say is don't use alone,
mm-hmm.
because, like, when you overdose or anything like that, you need someone else to help you pull out of that.
Yeah.
Like turning off the light.
Yeah, you gotta help. You gotta, hey, turn off the light.
Yeah.
I love that the first thing they admit is that they would spy on girls. Every boy's perverted dream when turning invisible. There is way too much tickling in the story. Sam, can you give me the tickle counts? Was one of my notes. And I'm just like, yep, well, Sam didn't read this one, so yeah. It's okay, though. I'm going to assume 8.
A weird amount.
All right. And my final giant note. All right. Which episode of Saturday Night Live would have been on for this book? I'm going to say it's the later of the two March episodes that aired in 93. So it'll be Miranda Richardson hosting and Soul Asylum performing. And talk about a great cast this season, by the way. You got Chris Farley, Phil Hartman, Mike Myers, Kevin Nealon, Chris Rock, Julia Sweeney, Tim Meadows, Adam Sandler. Great cast this season. You also had a couple others who I'm just like, I don't care about these people because they're kind of douchebags.
Gotcha.
You can take a guess on one of them.
I think I can.
Yeah.
Is it Chevy Chase? Or... Wait, no, he's gone for a long while.
That was a 70s one, honey.
Yeah.
Rob Schneider.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no.
Yeah, no. I even when he was on SNL, I did not care for Rob Schneider. He's like the most annoying motherfucker, I swear.
He's that kid that people talk about, like the real class clown and the kid that thinks they're the class clown.
Yeah.
He's the one that thinks he's the class clown.
Yeah, he's the one suckling at Adam Sandler's teat.
And he's like, look, I have the straws up my nose, I'm a walrus. And you're like, that's annoying, stop. It's a free country.
You wouldn't say that. Oh, I hate
him. I'm not going to vaccinate my children.
It's a free country.
Was that Rob Schneider or was that someone else?
I'm pretty sure he's anti-vax. I wouldn't be surprised if he's not.
I don't want to say it without like...
This is America. We can get away with it. This isn't England.
Allegedly. There, I'll just do the YouTube. Allegedly, he said that.
All right. So random question, Sam. Random question time, Sam. Would you go invisible? If you obviously, there would be no risk of getting the doppelganger thing.
I'd try it.
Yeah.
Like, if there's no risk of that, I'd try it.
Yeah, same. I was about to say, as long as I get to keep my clothes on, I'd be okay with it.
Yeah.
Because I feel... I find media that doesn't let people be invisible with their clothes is so weird.
Yeah,
my goodness. And it's a freaking dumb joke nowadays.
I do like the Incredibles have the workaround of, like, oh, the suit just works with it.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Like, freaking... That was a very smart way
without for me to do it. Without being creepy.
Yeah, with a teenage girl.
Yeah. Well, and somebody pointed out it works really well with Violet being invisibility as her thing.
Yeah, because she doesn't want to go noticed.
Yeah, and that's a very teenage girl thing.
Yep.
And just the, oh no, the suit goes invisible, you know, without it being a creep.
Next question is, did you ever give a nickname like Lefty to someone? Or even maybe, did you ever get called Lefty, Sam?
I've never been called Lefty.
Okay.
I don't have anything like that I can really think of
close to that. Yeah, I've never really given people nicknames before.
Did I tell you about, like, the worst one I once heard?
Huh.
About the Max... So, that was this one kid named Max, not the one Max we know. And people were calling him MaxiPad because they thought it was funny.
Yeah.
And the teacher, because this was at the Jazz Institute...
I know this story, but go ahead.
And they were, and he was like, don't call him MaxiPad, call him Jew Boy. Was the instructor's words. And even the students were like, that's worse, though.
That is way worse.
That is way worse, because MaxiPad is just like...
Yeah, because I call MaxiPad every now and then.
Yeah, and like, could it be seen as possibly offensive? Sure, like, or mean or whatever.
It'd be mean. I wouldn't say offensive. Yeah.
Whereas Jew Boy is just offensive.
That is just like, offensive.
Period. The end.
No, MaxiPad is period. Yeah. All right. Do you think Lefty, now named Righty, will be normal now since his mirror version wouldn't be a brat with ADD?
No, he just has autism.
Sorry, people. Now he's just hyper-fixated on things. He's just hyper-fixated on the game of softball. Like, he goes to every women's fast pitch softball game and is just amazed.
He knows the history of it going back to, like, the beginning of it.
Yeah.
Sorry, I had to make the joke of the mirror. I don't know. Because it's like, maybe, but also, what else does the mirror entail, I guess? Like, what else, behavior-wise?
Like, I feel like if it's your mirror version, it's going to be your opposite self. Like, that's what I got the feeling of, because in the book, at least, Aaron stopped being kind of, like, mousy and nice, and kind of became the bitch. And then, Zach kind of stayed, he didn't seem as competitive. So there was that. So that's why I was kind of thinking, oh, maybe Lefty will be less, like, kind of like, you're not the best of me.
Or he might still be ADHD, but it might change, like, how it presents.
Yeah.
Like, instead of very that chipper, excitable, it could go more into angry.
Ooh. I don't know. He seemed more angry in the book. Like, as a regular one.
Might go the other way.
Because you're a little brother kind of thing. Yeah. You know, you're going to get angry about me not being able to do stuff.
I want to go. Let me play.
Yeah.
Little brother mode.
Alrighty. So, Sam, do you want to do What Inspired the Stein? Or do you want to do a new topic that I actually just introduced for this one?
Let's try the new.
Alright. So, we're going to rename the Goosebumps books from this point on, because I feel like it'd be a really fun idea. So, since I sprung this on to Sam, I'm not going to force her to do it.
If I come up with something, I'll let you know, but my brain is just...
So, yeah, here's a new show idea. So, what would you rename this Goosebumps book? Because I heard this, actually, I'm stealing this from the Big Orange Couch, where they would rename an episode. And they would actually do a kind of a fan poll to see whose title would win kind of thing. So, I figured that'd kind of be a fun thing to do and see who wins kind of thing.
Yeah.
For everybody. So, just remember for next time, and I'll tell everyone in the chat, obviously. My new title is The Negative Reflection. Spooky. Going for the regular horror novel title versus a classic Goosebumps title.
Yeah. The closest thing I got to was, like, Mirror, Mirror on the Wall. But that's
there
like...
There you go, yeah! Okay. All right. I won't put it up as a poll, because I don't think... I was about to say, because I don't feel like you're super confident on that.
Yeah, I'm like, it just kind of feels eh. Like, it doesn't...
It works, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there is technically a Goosebumps story called Mirror, Mirror, so...
Yeah, so that's also the other thing. I'm like, I know there's one already called Mirror, Mirror, though.
Yeah, you're fine. Alrighty, so let's get into What Inspired the Stein. Sam, do you have any ideas what may have inspired R.L. Stein on this one? Because there's actually quite a few.
I honestly think back to the, like, original, like, horror movies and The Invisible Man.
Alright, yeah, for sure. I feel like a lot of the them kind of messing around with them and kind of goofing around and doing their invisible stuff.
Yeah.
Definitely The Invisible Man and those kinds of movies were definite inspirations for this.
I don't have much else off the top of my head.
Alrighty, well... Let's go ahead and get into it then. The kids wanting to constantly turn invisible, also getting a high off of the concept, is ripped from the movie Flatliners. R.L. Stein actually admitted this.
Okay, that's as soon as you said that, I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I remember because we talked about it, or I bullshitted my way through it in a class.
Yeah.
In a winter class where my computer died. Because it was about religion and stuff like that, too.
Yeah. But yeah, I was about to say, Flatliners is a movie where medical students medically flatline themselves and dangerous repercussions happen. So definitely a huge inspiration on this book, and R.L. Stein has actually admitted to that. And another one is a Twilight Zone episode called Mirror Image that shares a very similar premise of a mirror doppelganger trying to take over the original. This one has very definite, very obvious inspirations, but I feel like... If you've never seen Flatliners, this book is very good. If you've seen Flatliners, you're going to be like, this feels vaguely familiar. But I haven't seen Flatliners in years, so it's okay.
Elliot Page, no.
You're talking about the remake.
Yeah, I know. I don't know the original cast.
With Donald Glover also. Oh, gosh. The original cast, like, hold up. I got to pull up the original cast, because there's actually some really good people in the original.
I just remember Elliot Page was in there.
Yeah. Kiefer Sutherland, Kevin Bacon, Julia Roberts.
Goddamn.
Yeah, I was about to say, one of the Baldwins, not one of the good ones. Which Baldwin is it? Hold on. William Baldwin.
Yeah, I don't know that one.
Like I said, not one of the most distinguished Baldwins. But the one from Backdraft, I do like Backdraft. I was about to say, that's like the only other thing I know him from.
Julia Roberts, Keith Sutherland.
Yeah, I was about to say, the original Flatliners had a really good cast. Too bad it's not that great of a movie. And honestly, I was hoping that the remake would actually be good, and no, it really wasn't. Alrighty, so Sam, do you maybe want to give a TV report? Do you want to give your opinion on the TV episode, maybe? If you don't, yep, you don't have to.
I can.
Okay.
So, the TV episode was pretty good in the way of all the Goosebumps stuff. Like, it has some decent effects.
Mm-hmm.
You know, say the story is...
Surprisingly good effects for a Goosebumps episode. It is season two, so maybe that's why.
I was gonna say, it's straightforward, it's pretty close to the book, there's some minor changes, but nothing like...
Yeah.
Nothing changes the main story.
Like, little details were changed, like, Zach has an earring versus the hairdo, which, that just makes perfect sense for this. Yeah.
But I do like at the end where they did have the same twist, but it wasn't through the softball, because he's not throwing it as much around the house.
Yeah.
But it was, like, helping the dad out.
Mm-hmm. And the dad's like, toss me a cup, son.
And then the kid's like, wait. Use your right hand. He just gives, like, this smirk.
Yeah, he just looks at the camera, like, with this shitty grin of, like,
you're not the best of me.
Yeah, I actually really enjoyed, like, this was the first time I've seen this one in, like, a long-ass time. Because, like, I did not remember the characters or how this one went. But yeah, it's honestly a pretty decent adaption. It is a Ron Oliver episode, so that's probably why. Ron Oliver did some of my favorite Are You Afraid of the Dark episodes, so... There you go. But yeah, I completely agree with Sam's TV report. My book report, though, is this is a pretty fun one with good shocks. I find the whole turning invisible metaphor for drugs to be an interesting idea, even if it was done already with flatliners. I also like the evil doppelganger situation, though I feel it could have been dropped periodically into the story sooner for some more thrills, instead of, like, getting dropped at, like, chapter 18, like, really close to the end. Like, I feel like they could have, like, they dropped the whole not feeling well and stuff, but I feel like maybe being, like, seeing, like when they're not feeling well, they see, like, a random, like, person or, like, a shadow or something.
Or hear something, they're like, wait.
Yeah, who's that? Who's there? And, like, yeah. They're like, what are you talking about? Like, I feel like they he could have dropped a little bit more of that in there. Some foreshadowing. But it works out okay. It works okay. And they could have replaced some of those random, like, false scares of Lefty with those, like, is it Max? Or there was a shadow looking at me that I couldn't tell who it was.
And then it disappears before he could really...
Yeah. Like, it could be a good false scare, but also be a legit scare. Like, it could have been added on there and be pretty good, honestly. I like the characters in this one. They're nothing special, but they're not the worst. They're kind of down the middle for Goose Kids, but they're enjoyable.
Yeah.
Like, I think the only one who really stands out is Lefty. And, I mean, I like Lefty. Lefty's top tier little brother, little sibling in these books. Like, I feel like he might be top tier little sibling. Because, like, he's annoying, but he's not annoying so bad that he's, like, Terra the Terrible or Denny. Like, he's not a complete jerk, but he's at least a character still.
You're not going, why are they here?
Yeah. And he's not just a punching bag.
Not like quantum abortion. Quantum abortion.
You're excited. You can't wait for that episode, can you, Sam? For being the longest Goosebumps in the original run, this one is a breeze to get through. And, I love that ending. I absolutely adore the ending to this book. Like, it's one of my top, like, five Goosebumps endings, I think. Because it's just so, it's subtle without being over the top. Like, Stay Out of the Basement's a little over the top with the little daisies being like, I'm your father. And it's not, like, kind of like, it's not so subtle that you're just like, wait, what? With Welcome to Dead House, which I thought was just a bad one of like, but he was trying to sell them our house already. It's like, oh, okay, that's just weird.
Yeah.
Or, you know, something along those lines. I think this one's subtle, yet really good. Like, that final line of, he was using his right hand. Like, holy shit. Just good shock. Good shocks.
Yeah.
I'm giving Let's Get Invisible a solid 4 invisible boys peeping on girls out of 5. Just a solid story. I actually kind of want to boost it up to a 4.5. I'm boosting it up to a 4.5.
I'm just more laughing at your at the matrix of
Oh, yeah, yeah. 4.5 little boys staring at, invisible boys staring at girls.
Yeah.
Yeah, peeping at them. Well, thank you for joining this time on Drunken Book Club and unofficial Goosebumps podcast. If you like what you heard, make sure to join us on our Patreon at patreon.com/drunkenbookclub, where I release these episodes early. For what it's worth, for the episode Curse of the Mummy's Tomb, I released that one 2 weeks ahead. So whenever I'm done editing these, I will drop these episodes on the Patreon. So you can get these episodes up to 2 weeks, but they'll almost always be like a little less than a week ahead. So I usually drop these on Mondays of the week of release. It's kind of dependent on when we record them and when I have time to edit. Because I know the next couple episodes, I might not be done editing them until at least, like, Tuesday, probably. Like, it's going to be a little bit, because we have to change our recording times until I'm done with training. So, but that's whatever. And hey, as always, if you join our Patreon, as long as you're a paying member, you get a shout out at the end of every episode. And if you want us to say where your website is, just drop it down below. We can say it. But it's a shout out to our patron, Trey. What up, dog?
Hi.
And as always, if you want to follow us anywhere, follow the link tree in our link below. That should have all our links to where we are. Chris, you need to update that. You still haven't updated with everyone's information that they want to share. Update it, please. Thank you. And hey, that's the episode. We'll see you guys next time for a Star Wars Choose Your Own Adventure book, which should have come out this week, but unfortunately, due to time restrictions, we weren't able to record. But we'll be releasing a late Star Wars episode for May the 4th.
Sweet.
Yay!
See you guys next time, and stay invisible.